والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين محمد وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.
We are on page 231, مستحبات of slaughtering. And here he is mentioning what are things which are recommended to be done at time of slaughtering the animal. 14. In slaughtering animals, several things are mustahab. First, that when slaughtering sheep or goat, its two front legs and one of its hind legs are tied together while its other leg is left free. And when slaughtering a cow, all its four legs are tied together while its tail is left free. And when killing a camel, its two front legs are bound together as far up as the knees or to below the armpits while its hind legs are left free. And it is mustahab after cutting the neck of a hen to leave it and let it bleed its feet and wings. Well, about slaughtering, as we said before, the way of Islam in slaughtering the animal is very kind and merciful to the animal, in the sense that the animal will feel very little pain. It is not as some of the non-Muslims believe that by slaughtering with knife the animal will get more pain, rather than in this way, because of sharp knife and because of huge blood coming out, within 3 seconds the animal will be unconscious. And if the animal is unconscious, naturally will feel no pain. And even pain of the knife, because it is a sharp knife, that pain will not be felt. This is according to scientific studies, it's shown to be the best way of slaughtering the animal. Here, beside that wajibat, he says some things are recommended. And say if we are slaughtering a chicken, it's better to leave the chicken to beat with the wings or the legs free. But while slaughtering a goat or sheep, it is recommended to tie one hand with two legs and leave one hand free, so the animal can move at the same time it's tied. Also about a cow, is that there are four legs to be tied together. Only the tail is left free. Well, this is of course mustahab, but sometimes we can realize the importance of such mustahab. This position of tied hand and leg actually will give more pressure to the chest. Intrapulmonary pressure is increased, and with that more blood will come out, and if more blood comes out, the animal will remain cleaner, because the blood is a good source for the growth of bacteria, and if more blood comes, then whatever is left is little, so amount of infection by time will take longer time than if the blood is there. However, in the Sharia it is mentioned that this is a mustahab thing to be done. The second mustahab is that the person killing the animal is facing the qibla. Well, the animal, we said, should face qibla. But the human being who is killing the animal, for him also is mustahab to face qibla. So he is towards qibla. Third, to put water in front of the animal before killing it. Actually, we have to offer the animal water before killing it. So if the animal is feeling thirst, he may drink water, and after drinking water, he might be slaughtered. Well, this has a lot of benefits. First of all, it shows our kindness, so we will not get harmed by that, because this process always for the benefit of the slaughtered animal. Secondly, after blood coming out, the animal will feel thirst because loss of blood. And if there is water there, that will reduce the feeling of thirst for the animal. Thirdly, if this blood is to, if this water has been taken, I mean, if there is enough period that the water from the stomach will go to intestine and to the blood will be diluted with that water, and then more blood will come out, less blood will remain. I mean, it depends if water is offered 10 minutes, it is sufficient for water to be absorbed and reach the blood. Fourth, to act in such a way that the animal suffers least, like making the knife very sharp and cutting the animal's neck quickly. Again, so much important that to reduce suffering of the animal. And one of the things is to make the knife very sharp. If the knife is sharp and quick in slaughtering, the animal may not feel pain at all, because before pain comes, you will get unconscious. We come to another subject, the makruhat of slaughtering, the unrecommended things while slaughtering the animal. 15 several things are makruh in slaughtering animals. First, for the knife to be plunged into the back of the animal's windpipe so that the windpipe is cut from behind. Yeah. And instead of cutting from the front to the back, one sometimes cuts from the back to the front. So that is makruh, to go behind the trachea and slaughter the animal. Maybe behind the trachea and behind the esophagus, from the back comes to the front, that is makruh. From the front to the back is the right way. Second, for the head of the animal to be completely cut off from the body before the animal is completely dead. And furthermore, the ihtiyat wajib is not to do this. Although if done to sheep, cows, and hens, etc., their meat does not become haram. And if done due to carelessness or unintentionally because of the sharpness of the knife, it is not makruh. You see, one thing, the animal should be killed by cutting these four pipes as mentioned, which is the two jugular veins and the trachea and the esophagus. These are four veins to be cut. Now, cutting all the head is not necessary, because this can be cut without need to cut all the head. Cut the neck completely. So it is one of the unrecommended things to be done. If the neck completely to be cut, then that is after complete death of the animal. And as ihtiyat wajib, because some of the ulama said it should not be done at all, and some have ihtiyat, if it is done, might be the meat is haram. The reason is that the death of the animal will not be related to the blood coming out and cutting the trachea and the esophagus. The animal will die because of other reason, and that is damage to his neck. So the reason for some of the ulama to have ihtiyat that it should not be done at all is for that. Unless one is sure that it is due to cutting the four veins, then the head should not be cut. But again, he said, if it is done for sheep, cow, and hens, their meat does not become haram. According to Ayatollah al-Baghani, meat will not become haram. And if it is due to unintentionally done, one is not aware, or because the knife was very sharp and cut the neck, then even it is not makruh, because that was not done intentionally. The third makruh, for the animal to be skinned before it is completely dead. Moreover, the ihtiyat wajib is not to do this. Although if done to an animal that has been slaughtered, the meat does not become haram. So it's one of the unrecommended things is to start taking out the skin of the animal and separation of the skin from the meat before the animal dies completely. Or according to ihtiyat also, it should not be done. Though if done, the meat will not be haram, the meat will remain halal. For the marrow cord, which is in the vertebral column, to be cut before the animal is completely dead. Well, marrow cord, it means spinal cord. It is makruh to cut the spinal cord before the animal is completely dead. Actually, the benefit of that, medically speaking, the spinal cord is still in, which can transmit the responses from the brain through the spinal cord to the muscles. The jerky movements will continue. Because of lack of blood to the brain will get that effect of jerks all over the body. And that jerks are important so that more and more blood is thrown away of the muscles, and it will come to the heart and to the veins, and it will come out of the veins. If the spinal cord is cut, or if the neck is completely cut, in both the ways, then that transmission will be cut, and that the legs, hands will be paralyzed. If they are paralyzed, means that type of pump for the blood will not be there, and less blood will come out. Fifth, for the animal to be killed in a place where there are other animals to see. So if other animals are there, we have to take the animal to a separate place where other animals do not see that process. Because the animals naturally will know about it, and that will hurt their feelings. So this is makruh to be done. Sixth, for the animal to be killed at night or before the noon of Jum'ah. Though in cases of need, there is no problem. So the animal to be killed in the daytime is the best time, not the night. And in the day of Jum'ah, before noon, the animal is not recommended to be killed. But if there is need, then there is no problem. Seventh, for a person to kill a four-legged animal that he himself has brought up. You see, if we have an animal at home, and he was brought up at home, whether sheep or chicken or goat or whatever, or gazelle, whatever it is, now for the owner of that animal at home, he himself to kill that animal is makruh. He may give it to somebody else to kill that animal. You see, from these mustahabat, makruhat, and wajibat, Islam always try to look to the human feelings of the human being to be remained rather than affected. Because slaughtering the animal naturally is blood shedding, and that is a hard process, and it will develop in the human being the character of being aggressive. And by time he may get that, because he is used to kill living beings and he is used to see bloodshed, and that becomes normal for him. And that is natural effect of that type of job. You know, any job will get certain, it has certain effect. When somebody is burying the dead people, for example, that is his business, naturally he's accustomed to the show of dead people, while for those who are not accustomed, seeing a dead person is terrible. So for one who is slaughtering animals always, that will be usual for him, and his heart gets hard, and that human feelings will be less with him. But with these mustahabbat, you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is counteracting that feeling. So he says, first of all, to be toward Qibla. Now, effect of Qibla, that I am facing Qibla, it will give some sort of religious feeling. We have to mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before slaughtering the animal. We have to be kind to the animal, to slaughter him very fast, to leave the animal have his own jerks, and that freedom with that jerks, you know. Not to hurt the animal by not giving him water or slaughtering him in front of other animals and so on. And if the animal we brought up at home, and naturally certain relation is built up there, and now for that animal, the honor to slaughter again is makruh, because by some time, you know, that the feelings between the person and that animal will develop more. That will be at home for months. So you say, though it is allowed to slaughter that animal and use the meat, and meat is needed by human beings, but still, slaughtering may not be done by the owner, may be done by somebody else, so that effect should not be there. So you see, one of the benefits, and Allah knows maybe thousands of benefits are there, but what we understand, one of the benefits of all these wajibat, mustahabat, and makruhat is to keep the character of the human being intact as human being. That feeling should remain intact in spite of this process of killing, but still his human nature should remain. Now we come to another subject, and that is number F, laws of hunting with arms. You know that we are in condition here of appendix 2, in which there are many miscellaneous subjects. So we discussed about laws of slaughtering and hunting, then about details of slaughtering, and now details of hunting. If a halal meat animal that is wild, or which was tame but became wild, is hunted with a weapon, its meat with five conditions is halal and its body is clean. Now we said hunting is allowed for the animal which is wild, I mean halal meat animal which is wild, or if a tame animal becomes wild, right? A goat at home and run away in desert and becomes wild. So here, instead of slaughtering by hand, we cannot get the wild animal to slaughter, difficult to catch. So instead of slaughtering, the second way for its meat to be halal is hunting, killing by hunting. This hunting has many conditions. If you hunt animal, there are five conditions to be met so that the meat of that animal is halal, and that is if the animal itself is halal meat already. First, that the weapon has a blade like a knife or sword, or is pointed like a spearhead or arrowhead, which by its sharpness tears the animal's body. And if an animal is killed by means of a snare or a stick or a stone, it does not become clean, and to eat its meat is haram. And if an animal is hunted with a rifle, provided that the bullet is sharp so that it enters the animal's body and tears it, then the animal's body is clean and its meat is halal. But if the bullet is not sharp and enters the animal's body due to its force and kills it, or burns the animal's body due to its heat and the animal dies as a result of that burn, then for it to become clean and halal is a problem. So one of the conditions, that the weapon we use has to be sharp. Either we use, as you say, like blade or knife or sword, or if we use a weapon from far, like arrow, the arrow is sharp and it will injure the animal. By injuring the animal, blood will come out, and the animal is killed by injuring it. If the weapon is not sharp, like a stone, if you throw a stone from animal from far, the animal, due to weight of the stone, may get crushed and die, but then the meat is not halal. That is not slaughtering, just killing. That is not accepted. So whatever weapon is used has to be sharp, penetrate the body, and by its sharpness causes the death of the animal, not by its hit to the animal. So if a bullet is used, the bullet has to be sharp bullet, and with its sharpness and penetration cause the bleeding and kill the animal. But if it, because of its other effect, not being sharp, enter the body, then you say may not be allowed. So that is one of the conditions, that the weapon used for hunting should be sharp edged one. Second, the hunter must be a Muslim or a Muslim child who can distinguish between good and bad. And if the hunter is a kafir, or a person who manifests hatred of the sacred house of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the animal that is hunted is not halal. We say one of the conditions of the man to slaughter is to be a Muslim. Again here, the same, one of the conditions for the hunter is to be a Muslim. Now if a child of a Muslim is hunting, whether it's allowed or not, you say if the child knows good and bad, I mean, he's, let's say, 8-10 years of age, and he knows good and bad, and he knows the Muslim, then is not a problem. His hunting is accepted. But if the hunter is a kafir, or Nasibi who feel hatred toward Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, is regarded also like kafir. If that hunt, then the meat is not halal, and the skin of that animal is not tahir. Third, that the weapon is used to hunt the animal, and if, for example, it is aimed at a place and accidentally an animal is killed, then that animal is not clean, and to eat it is haram. So here intention is necessary, that he should see an animal and he has to send a weapon to hunt that animal. But now if by chance he is shooting to the mountain, and by chance an animal crossed there and the shoot came to that animal, then the meat is not halal. So he has to have intention and he shoots certain known animal. Fourth, that at the time of using the weapon, the name of Allah is spoken, is mentioned. And if the name of Allah is intentionally not spoken, then the hunted animal is not halal. But if it is forgotten, there is no problem. Because it is wajib at time of slaughtering to mention name of Allah, either to say Bismillah wa Billah or Allahu Akbar. Anything which say name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now here, before hunting, before shooting, one should say also Bismillah wa Billah, for example. Subhanallah or Allahu Akbar. Now if intentionally you do not mention name of Allah and you hunt an animal, that meat is haram, not halal meat. But if it was forgotten, then the meat is halal, no problem. Fifth, that when the hunter reaches the animal, it is dead, or if it is alive, that there is not enough time for the hunter to cut its throat. And if there remains enough time for the hunter to cut its throat, but he does not do so until the animal dies, then the animal's meat is haram. Here, when you hunt the animal should be dead by that weapon of hunting. And when the person, the hunter, till he come and reach the animal should be dead by that time. But if he while injured the animal, and the animal fell down, and the hunter came and still the animal alive, then here he has enough time to slaughter the animal properly. So the hunter should slaughter the animal properly if he reaches and the animal is still alive. So either he should reach when the animal is already dead by hunting, or if the animal is alive, he should slaughter the animal. But if there is no time, maybe after reaching till he prepares the knife and try to kill the animal is dead, then it is okay. But if there is enough time, for 5 minutes he is beside the animal, and the animal is before death till the animal died, and he did not slaughter the animal, then the meat is not halal. So one of the conditions in hunting for meat to be halal, that when you reach the animal should be dead, or there should be no time for slaughtering. He died right away. Or if he's alive, should be slaughtered. Now if you shoot a bird, for example, and the bird fell down, either fell down dead, when you reach the bird is dead, and if already you mentioned name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have intention for that animal, then you shoot, then it is okay. Otherwise, if you reach the bird, and the bird is still alive, then the bird should be slaughtered properly. So that is one of the conditions. Now we come to another subject, hunting with hunting dogs. Sometimes instead of shooting, they use the dog for hunting. So now what are the rules regarding that? Number 17, if a halal meat wild animal or tame animal that has become wild is hunted with a dog, for it to be clean and halal has 6 conditions. First, that the dog has been trained in such a way that whenever it is sent off to hunt, it goes, and whenever it is told to stop, it stops. And likewise, its habit must be that while its owner has not yet reached the tree, it does not eat it. But if it is occasionally eat the tree, it can still be used. Now here, again, is hunting what with the dog? It's either it should be a wild animal, halal meat, wild animal, or a halal meat tame animal that has become wild, can be hunted with dog with the following conditions. First, the dog itself should be a trained dog, not any dog to be sent to the animal. That dog should be trained and is under control of the hunter. If the hunter asks the dog to attack, the dog will attack, and if asks the dog to stop, will stop. And it should be also, the dog should be habitual that when we attack the animal and injure the animal, and animal fell down, the dog will not start eating meat of that animal. It will wait for the hunter to come, and then if the animal is dead, some meat may be given to the dog. But if sometimes, when the dog cannot be controlled, if occasionally the dog does that, still that dog can be used. Second condition, that its owner sends it off to hunt. And if it goes off itself and hunts an animal, then to eat that animal is haram. And if it goes off itself to chase an animal, and then the owner shouts for it to hurry, then even if due to its master's voice it hurries, according to ihtiyat wajib, one must refrain from eating that animal's meat. So here, going of the dog should be by order of its owner, not by itself. If that trained dog goes by itself and hunts an animal, that animal is not halal, that meat is not halal. It should be by order of the owner. And if it attacks an animal, but then the owner also was aware and asked the dog also to continue the attack, see, according to ihtiyat wajib, the meat is not halal. So from the very beginning, the movement of the dog should be by order of its owner. Then, the person who sends the dog must be a Muslim, or the child of a Muslim who can understand good and bad. And if the dog is sent by a kafir, or a person who manifests hatred toward the sacred household of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the meat of that tree is haram. The meat is haram. So as for slaughtering, we said the slaughter, or the man who slaughtered, should be a Muslim. Again, in hunting by dog, the one who sent the dog should be a Muslim, or a child of a Muslim, who is at an age which can understand good and bad. So if a kafir sends the dog, or if Nasibi, who have hatred towards Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, send the dog to hunt for him, that meat is not halal. Fourth, that the name of Allah is uttered at the time the dog is sent. And if intentionally the name of Allah is not uttered, that plea is haram. But if forgotten, there is no problem. So as for slaughtering, we have to mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So at time of sending the dog, one should say Bismillah Abdullah and order the dog to attack. Fifth, that the plea dies due to the effect of the wound from the dog.